We've heard a lot of ways of removing spirits from a home or a building, but does a broom work just as good? In a recent EPP bonus episode, it appeared to for one listener. We'll tell you exactly what they did with the broom.
It's really creepy.
Become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com to get that episode and all of our bonus episodes and exclusive video content as well. It's what keeps our show fueled and on the air. Only $5 a month. Help keep the show going and enjoy all the bonuses of being an EPP. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a young man is able to break free from a sleep paralysis experience state long enough to phone for help. That'd be an interesting call to get.
Yeah.
Something in a haunted hotel may be projecting negative images into a visitor's mind. It's hard to know exactly which thing taken from grandmother's attic is the haunted item. And a girl finds her house is making it hard for her to make friends or have them over. Your stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
So what's new?
I don't really have anything that's new.
No.
You?
No, not you, much.
Usually when someone asks that, it's like, okay, I'm going to be polite and I'm going to have you tell your new stuff so I can talk about my new stuff.
No, mine was a genuine inquiry into what's new with you.
But what's your new stuff?
I don't have any new stuff.
What's new with you?
Nothing. That's why I asked you.
Because I want to talk about my things that are new with me.
Okay.
That's
nothing.
How
I, what's new with you?
I have nothing that's new.
Okay.
That must mean we're genuinely asking what's new with the other person.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends who do that. So probably more so acquaintances than anything else that comes to mind, and I'm not going to say their names out loud, but I remember so many times, and this was back in radio days, going into the radio station, and a certain person would always, the first thing, oh, what's new with you? And they'd ask you, you know, for like 2 seconds, mm-hmm. and you begin to tell your story, and then somehow it relates to them, and then the next 15 minutes of your life you never get back, and it's just pointless things of what's new with them.
I think I might know who you're talking about.
You think?
About.
Yeah. It's yeah. like, okay, that's super and wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, there's always one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So there's lots of ways to get your stories to us here on the show. If you're new to the show, we do this thing year-round, so you are not out of ghost stories after Halloween season is done. Oh, no, my friends. It continues on as long as we have the support to do it. That's why we have our EPP program. You guys sign up for your EPP. Get all the bonus episodes of the show and a brand new bonus episode every single week. And the satisfaction of knowing you're keeping this thing alive. Our first letter today. Reswan?
Rashawn.
Rashawn? Is that right?
I think.
Okay. I cannot pronounce names. No. Like, well, the worst thing I've ever had is like having to announce names for an award ceremony. It's like, here's this giant list, and because you talk on the radio, you of course know to pronounce everyone's name. No, that's actually my least skill that I have. It's the worst thing I do is try and pronounce names. Rashawn, I think you're exactly right. Hi, my name's Rashawn, but to make it easier, you can call me R. I have a few stories. Things just get worse with time. When I was younger, around 16 or 17, my sister, my mom, and my mom's husband and I all lived in a beautiful house. Although, as beautiful as it was, it terrified me. When we first moved in, things were fine, but once I was being left home alone, that's when things took a turn I wasn't expecting. I was starting to hear footsteps walking around the hallway outside my room. I'd look, but see no one. Whenever my mom would come home, I'd try to tell her, but she always told me I was just hearing things. There's nothing to be afraid of. This goes on for a few weeks. My mom would call to tell me to get something out of the deep freezer in the basement for her to cook later, which was set up kind of like an entertainment room. Anytime I went down there, I'd instantly feel like something was standing behind me or watching me from the garage. Eventually, that feeling got so bad that anytime my mom would call and tell me to do something in the basement, I would sit at the top of the stairs leading to the basement, hug my knees to my chest, and cry. I always felt like something in that house wanted to hurt me. There's nothing nice about that house. Then one night I had my little sister sleep in my room with me just to have the comfort of someone else there, but that didn't help. In fact, I think I made it angry. That night we had fallen asleep just fine, and I woke up maybe an hour or so later to hear footsteps. I tried to wake my sister to hear what I was hearing, but she never woke up. I got up slowly and walked towards my door, crying, wanting to try to get to my mom's room down the hall. Soon, as I reached the door and started to put my hand on the knob, whatever it was in the hallway grabbed the knob on the other side at the same moment I grabbed it and shook the doorknob violently. I jumped and ran back and sat on the edge of my bed, crying and staring at the door. I can remember repeating, "I want my mom," nonstop. Finally stopped shaking the door as I heard my mom wake up. After that night, I would either sleep in my mom's room without her knowing it until it was daylight again and ran to my room before she would wake up. That was a routine for the remainder of our stay there. It was that way I felt safe. My second story happened maybe 2 years later. I was at home with my mom and my sister. They were on our way home from school on the bus. My mom's room located right next to mine. I was lying in bed watching TV until I felt like something was watching me. I sat up and looked around, only locking eyes with this man who was all black standing in the corner of my room by the door. I tried to get up, but I couldn't move. I started crying for it to please let me go. I started screaming at the top of my lungs for my mom, but she was asleep. She didn't hear. Although I think she should have heard me because my room wasn't far from here. I was sure I was going to die. My back started hurting. I screamed for my mom for a good minute. I finally thought to grab my cell and try to call my mom, begging her to help, but she never answered. So I called my sister, and when she heard how I sounded, she knew instantly something was wrong. I asked her to try calling mom and tell her to come to my room. We hung up, and I kept screaming for my mom. She told her bus driver I was in danger and she needed to get to the house ASAP, and the bus driver, instead of following the bus route, she passed all the stops and brought my sister straight to our house. Maybe 3 minutes later, I heard my sister bust through the front door, and as soon as she did, I think that's when my mom woke up because she beat my sister to my room. She flung open the door to find me screaming for her, crying, vomiting, and shaking uncontrollably. She ran to me and asked what was wrong. I told her there's a man behind my door that wants me dead. He was hurting my back and wouldn't let me up. She grabbed me off the bed and took me to her room, laid me on her bed, kept rubbing my back to keep me calm. Honestly, I think something was keeping my mom from hearing me. My mom knew something was going on, but was unsure how to go forward with things. Until we moved again, and at the new house, things got so extreme that my mom became more furious and ready to fight. Things got to the point that my whole family had to get involved. I won't include that story this time. I've taken up enough of your time, but I do appreciate you reading my story. If you guys would like to hear the story that finally made my mom fight back, let me know and I'll write that story for you guys. Not that she didn't fight for me before, but I think this was the moment that really made her understand my life was in danger. I love my mom with all my heart. If it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't be here today. Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work. And Jenny, I love hearing your view on things. You remind me of my mom. What would you have done?
I think I would have done probably the same thing. Tried to get in touch with somebody to come. I mean, what does anybody do in that situation?
Demon away.
Oh, demon away. Why didn't I think of that?
That's the answer to everything.
I know.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where you don't really you know, necessarily have a clear-cut answer. It sounds like something was obviously trying to harm the individual. It doesn't sound like it was just one of those cases where, hey, you know, I know you like to bake chocolate chip cookies, and we enjoy the phantom smell of them, but every once in a while, when I look out of the corner of my eye, I can see you. Please stop making yourself known. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those things.
No.
So, the polite asking is not a good idea. Interacting on some level, probably not the best of idea either. That can make it worse. And trying to rid the house with whatever, you know, practice you may want to employ, whether that be demon away or an exorcism or whatever, it could work. It may take, it may not, it may make things worse. It's one of those things where there's no real win clear answer on what to do in a situation like that. Mm-mm. So we would like to hear more, and hopefully it doesn't involve the words demon away.
Yeah,
in that story. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So there's lots of ways to get your story to us. Michael writes in, hey guys, love your show. So thank you for having it available. I appreciate all of the great stories and your thoughts on them. I have a story that kind of relates to something said on your episode, just passing through. You mentioned hotels, and also someone wrote in about blobs of light. Anyway, in October of 2010, I was visiting California and was staying in Buena Park near Knott's Berry Farm. I'd arrived a few days before the rest of my family so I could do some sightseeing, which left me by myself while I was staying at my hotel called the Inn Suites Hotel. On my second or third night there, I had an experience. It was around midnight or so. I was watching TV while getting ready to fall asleep when the power turned off. I went outside and saw that the whole block was without power. So I went back inside my room and decided to try and sleep. As I was trying to fall asleep, I noticed some peculiar things. For starters, I was noticing that some really bizarre and disturbing thoughts were popping into my head. Things that I don't normally just daze off to. Like gory, gross, graphic, bloody things. It was really disturbing since I felt like these thoughts were not mine but were being incepted into my head. At the same time, I noticed that above me, towards the ceiling, I could see this weird mist-like shape floating above. It was black, somewhat transparent, and hard to make out as it moved around. I kept closing my eyes and opening them to get them adjusted, but they were used to the dark already, and this mist was indeed there. I was getting very nervous and scared. I then felt a touch on my ear, almost like a fly, but without the sound of the wings that you hear when they fly close to your ears. At this point, I pulled the covers over my head. Mind you, I'm a grown man. While this is going on, I'm under the covers, and I'm thinking, this can't really be happening. This is something paranormal. I've been very interested in the paranormal, but I never wanted to actually experience anything. But here I was, trying to shrug everything off and fall asleep, and then it happened. My feet, at the end of the bed, were touched as if someone was trying to wake me up. Aw, hell no. That was enough for me. So like a flash, up I went. Grabbed my phone, adrenaline pumping, and I was out the door. I sat in the parking lot, called my girlfriend back home, and explained everything to her. Probably sounded crazy, but it had my heart pumping. We talked on the phone for a while, but eventually I decided that I needed to do something. I had a long day planned the next day, and I needed some sleep. So I decided to act. My parents always told us kids, if you see or feel negative spirits, use the Lord's name. I'm definitely not religious, but as desperate as I was, I mustered up some courage. Put my girlfriend on mute, walked into my hotel and screamed, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave this place. I said some other things too, but that was the main gist. Overall, I felt like I had control over the situation. I eventually crawled back under the covers and my girlfriend talked to me until I fell asleep. I never experienced anything else afterwards. But hotels, huh? They definitely have lots of history and harbor some serious energy and emotions. That's what's up with that imagery, and what's up with that imagery that I experienced. Can you talk about what that was? Because I was being affected in almost a psychic way, right? I'd reflect on the story. I'd want to justify all of the things that happened as explainable phenomena. It's funny how your brain does that. but I know that what I experienced was something paranormal and probably in a negative way. I felt like I had protection, though. Can't explain why, I just did. I also find it interesting how using religious tools can combat supposedly negative energies. Do you think that it's just a symbol of taking control? It's kind of what I think, because I don't think that ghosts are religious. Maybe they are. But let's say a Buddhist or a Muslim person, as an example, dies, becomes a ghost, and then for whatever reason becomes malevolent. Do you think he or she cares if you use Catholic tools to expel him or her? Just a thought. Anyway, interesting stuff, really scary. Would probably not go back to that hotel room. I've had some other experiences, but this was the most significant since I was touched. I hope that the story is interesting, and I hope to share more soon. Thanks.
I think that was probably the best course of action, is exactly what he did. The only thing I might add is imagining yourself in that white protective light.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that can help as well. But I think that's probably as good as you could have done, considering middle of the night, strange hotel.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, if they're looking for some sort of, you know, logical explanation, you can go back to the carbon monoxide argument there a little bit.
Yeah.
You're having suddenly very strange thoughts, and then, you know, I don't know, it's very odd, you know, what can happen when that sort of thing comes in. But, you know, there's also certainly the possibility that this was a paranormal event, considering that when he did go in and, you know, somewhat amateurly exercise the place, it seemed to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You think if the carbon monoxide leak was going on, you'd be, you know, dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a very interesting experience. And, yeah, I agree. Hotels. Yeah, older ones,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit creepy. A little bit, I think, increased chances of bizarre and odd things happening there. Want to let you guys know that if you want to get a free creepy-ass audiobook right now, we have a way for you to do that. When you go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, click free audiobook, and you get over to Audible, and you can download a free audiobook on us. My suggestion for the Halloween season, The Demonologist, The Extraordinary Career of Ed and Lorraine Warren, the true account of paranormal investigators featured in the film The Conjuring. Now, that's one long-ass title.
It is.
I think originally it was just The Demonologist, The Extraordinary Career of Ed and Lorraine Warren, but then The Conjuring came up. It's like, oh, we should add that to the title, and it became a long-ass title. Anyway, you search The Demonologist or something of that nature, it'll pop up on Audible. And you can get it for absolutely free right now when you sign up through the link on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you've already read that one, there's plenty of other really good creepy ones. I like to get into kind of some of the classic ones around Halloween.
Okay.
Like The Amityville Horror is an option for downloading. The Exorcist is an option for downloading. And, you know, the books themselves, much longer than the movies. Like The Exorcist book, 12 hours. Actually, nearing 13 hours of pure exorcism delight. Amityville Horror gets an audiobook read in about 6.5 hours. The Demonologist one is about 10 hours, 15 minutes. So some good reading, quote unquote, there. That's how I read my books. It's all audiobooks. But really good one. And absolutely free when you go through the link at our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click on the free audiobook and get your free audiobook there. The Demonologist, I read that or listened to it last year. And I still go back to that one because it's one of my favorite creepy-ass books.
Well, you can't go wrong with Ed and Lorraine Warren.
No, and you can't go wrong with a free book.
Oh, no.
Either. So click on that and check that out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Sam writes in, hey again, Tony and Jenny. My fiance and I just moved into a loft. We've been unboxing a ton of old stuff that we took from her grandparents' attic. Keep in mind, we had this stuff in the shed, so if there were any spirits connected to it, we would have never known. Needless to say, shit has been happening. Thanks to your show, I'm a little more apprehensive. Well, we have a cat. Cats hate moving, and she did not take it too well. She hid the first month we were there. Now, she's comfortable with the loft. She's back to her usual stupid cat antics. The other night, she woke us up. We had awoken to her standing on her back leg right next to our heads, meowing loudly, jumping and reaching at something above us. I reached my cell phone and recorded video trying to capture whatever the hell she was trying to get. It was strange because she didn't break her focus for 3 hours. During this time, I pushed the cat off the bed, rolled over towards Jesse and tried to get him to go back to sleep, and instantly got pulled into sleep paralysis. Fun times. It was a bit more disturbing this time because I could move my hands a little and proceed to poke Jesse in the face to wake her up. The entire time I was thinking, what will happen if she woke up and saw that what the hell was holding me down and it attacks her? Anyway, she ignored me. She thought I was screwing around as usual and rolled over. As I laid there suffering, eventually I prayed in my head. The damn thing left and I regained the ability to move again. I jumped out of bed, grabbed the cat, which was standing next to the bed, meowing her head off, and threw her back into the bed. She went right back to clawing at the wall behind our heads. Any idea what to do? Wanted to talk to it, but I'm not sure if it's one of her grandparents pissed that she's engaged to someone outside of her race or something attached to the old stuff from their attic. Interesting enough, one of my close friends moved into the house we just moved out of. She said that her and her two kids had to stay in a hotel one night because the noise in the kitchen got so bad that they all freaked out. I'll get more of the story from her soon. Best, Sam.
Okay, so what do you do if it's something attached to one of the items they brought out of the attic?
I don't know. It's like, what, take one item out at a time?
I guess so.
Narrow it down. I would get, if you're going to try and expedite this and you try and think of a practical way to do this, because, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, can you go take this to your house for a night, see if something happens, or see if things calm down in your own house.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a consistent thing where things are always going on, it's going to be really hard to narrow that shit down.
Yeah.
That's where you get someone who's sensitive to those things. Don't tell them the story. Don't tell them the backstory. I don't know. Craigslist it. I don't know where you would exactly solicit someone to go and do this.
I think that's a bad idea, honey.
Craigslisting it?
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. What would you do? How would you go about getting someone who's sensitive in there that could essentially go through and all the items and go, yeah, this one is the one that that likely has something attached to it.
I don't know, because if you don't know somebody,
mm-hmm.
then I don't know how you go about finding somebody.
I have an idea.
Okay.
What? I have an idea. Call Ghostbusters. No. Call your local Ghostbusters. And what I mean by that is look into the local paranormal groups. There's a local paranormal group in basically every part of the world. Google it. You will find your local paranormal group and ask them for a reference.
Mm-hmm.
They would likely know someone who could go in. I'm not saying to have the paranormal group come in and do an investigation. No. Don't do that. But get a reference from them as far as who might be able to help you out as far as narrowing down what object is tormenting you.
And your cat.
What if it's the significant other who has someone attached to them? What if it's not an object? What if it's the person? A haunted person. We've had that.
We have had that, but I think things would have happened before.
That's true, yeah.
Because I don't think this is a new living situation where they're just getting the loft together and
sure.
making a home together. I think they were living together in their previous home.
Okay, so probably object related.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I would do that and see what you can come up with. Let us know how that goes. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Paul writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Wanted to let you know about a real event that happened to me some years ago. Due to two specific events when I was a child, which I won't go into here, I do believe in ghosts, but the friend who I was with for this story didn't believe at all until the night I'm about to tell you about. My friend, whom I'll call Nick, and I had 2-day events to attend in a hotel in Hollywood, California. We were both local to L.A., but with the early hours of our event starting each day, it just made sense for us to stay at the hotel while we were there. We shared a room to cut expenses and had a room on the upper floor. The layout was much like any other hotel you've ever seen before. The door opens into a hallway with a bathroom almost immediately to the left, and then straight on was the room itself. There were 2 beds inside the room, on the left wall across from which was a TV on a stand in front of one bed and a cushioned chair opposite the other bed. Nick took the bed across from the TV to keep an eye on some sports scores throughout the night. I had the other bed, from which I planned on doing a lot of work on my laptop related to the conference we were attending. The laptop is an important part of the story. Laptops back then were extremely expensive versus what they are today, and mine was very new, so I was keeping a close eye on it, as Hollywood, despite its glitz and glamour, is certainly not crime-free. I was, in fact, nervous about leaving it behind in the room while we were out and about for the conference. The conference was 2 days, so we were just spending one night. After the long first day of the conference, we mingled with others who were there all night. My friend doesn't drink at all, and though I do, I always abstain when I'm hanging out with him. I only bring that up to note that despite staying in a hotel leading up to the events I'm about to tell you about, we're both totally sober. We arrived late back to the room, knowing we wouldn't have to go up very early, so we decided to go to bed right away. We decided to leave the bathroom light on so that if either of us had to get up in an unfamiliar room at night to use said bathroom, we would not wake the other or kill ourselves trying to find it. The light left on with the door cracked created a wall of light a few feet across in the middle of the hallway leading to the door, but everything else was dark. There was an inside chain door lock on the top of the other door lock, which I made sure to fasten because of the laptop I mentioned. This will also be important. Next to my bed was a window with a horrible view of a roofed portion of the hotel, where technically if someone were prowling around on the lower roof level, they could break in. I wasn't worried about that, at least not at the moment. We both were soon asleep. Sometime late into the night, I suddenly had this sense that not only was I being watched, but that there was a face literally millimeters above my own as I lay on my back in the bed. I grew up in the country and am very accustomed to the dark and can see fairly well in the dark, but when I jerked my eyes awake, there was no one there. I did, however, have a sense of movement in the room, though I could not see anyone. At that point, I was convinced someone had broken in, and then I thought of my laptop and bolted to my feet. For sure, I could make out a presence and was convinced they had my laptop and were about to escape with it. So I gave chase. My feeling that someone was there was proven when a shadow passed very clearly across the window of light from the bathroom. I rushed after the person and almost slammed into the door to the room when I quickly realized that the chain lock was still locked from the inside. I was now just a few feet away from the bathroom, which is the only other place the intruder could have gone. I was unarmed and my friend was still somehow asleep, and I very slowly worked my way to the bathroom, only to find no one in there, except possibly behind the shower curtain. I ripped that open and there was no one there. I know I was not dreaming, because trust me, my heart was racing, and I was still concerned about my laptop, so I made my way to my bag and unzipped it and verified the laptop was still there, and checked the window to verify it was still locked, which it was. I don't know why I didn't wake up my friend, but more importantly, wondered why he didn't wake up on his own. Despite everything, I was tired and needed to get up in a few hours, so I went back to sleep. The next day, we rushed to the conference and I didn't tell Nick what happened. After the day ended, however, and we checked out, we did go to the hotel bar for dinner, and that is when I finally mentioned that something strange happened last night. Before I could tell him, he said something strange happened to him also. He said he woke up late into the night and sat up in his bed, only to see a woman sitting in the chair at the end of my bed, sitting and staring at me as I slept. She finally seemed to notice Nick, and like that, he said, she just somehow vanished. He's never believed in ghosts, but to this day, all these years later, he still maintains that is exactly what happened that night. I, of course, told him after what happened to me, and because we were both excited, the bartender who was serving our dinner bar side overheard and replied that the hotel was actually quite haunted, and things happen there all the time. I'd never heard that before, but I've heard it since, and that hotel is in Hollywood. And I wonder sometimes if people who stay there are told by staffers about ghost stories in the past, if one of those stories is the one that happened to me and my friend Nick about a decade ago. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
I think it's interesting since they both saw an entity in their room that mm-hmm. they saw a different thing.
Sure.
I mean, Nick saw a woman at the end of the bed, and then I forgot the writer's name, but he saw a shadow person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's interesting that they saw two different things.
Well, could it be the same thing in just the perspective of how it was seen? Like, I could see if you're just sitting there in bed, then off in the distance, you see the lady rocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe out of the light a little ways, it's just projecting as a shadow. I'm thinking it's probably the same thing.
I was wondering if different people are able to see entities different ways.
That's an interesting way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's like, do people see colors differently?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's obviously folks who are colorblind, so the answer to that is yes, if you're colorblind. But I've always kind of wondered that. Is my definition of green different than yours? Like, are you seeing it in a different way?
Yeah.
But no one would ever really know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and is that why, and maybe there is an explanation for this and I'm just completely an idiot, but maybe that's why some people are more attracted to a specific color than a different one.
Uh-huh.
But to another individual, are we, you know, maybe they're seeing that same color you are, but it's different to them. I don't know.
I don't know. I know some people see more variance with color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might see something like, yeah, that's green.
Sure.
I might see something, oh, it's more of a bluish green.
Yeah.
Or it's more of a brownish green. Or
the spectrum of what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. And it's an interesting idea and concept there to see if people are seeing the exact same thing when they see an entity. Can it control how it's projecting itself to different people? We've had a couple stories so far today where it seems that they can somewhat control who's hearing what's going on
mm-hmm.
around them. Not just the ghost, if it's doing something, but the actions of a living human being.
Right.
Somehow blocking out the sounds that individual is making from another person hearing it.
Well, I would assume that if they can control one sense, they can control the others.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff. Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that that one with us. Christine writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Christine in Indiana. I have a couple of short stories to share with you guys today. The first of my stories takes place a couple years ago. I'm not sure if it's paranormal, but it was certainly a strange one. One late morning, I was in my kitchen, which overlooks the backyard. We had a new wooden swing set outside, and at the end by the swings, there was a white mist where the support beam was. It looked like a dew or a fog, but I didn't see any fog anywhere else. Went outside to get a closer look, and it was a little bit taller than my height, 5'8", and about the width of a slender person. It appeared more like dew as it glistened in the sunlight as it moved in a slow, counterclockwise motion. Perhaps this is just weird natural phenomena that someone out there could explain, but I have never seen anything like it before and nothing since. My second story has to do with the same swing set and with my son when he was 3 or 4 years old at the time. He was outside playing around dusk with my older daughter or a couple of the neighbor kids. When he came inside that night, he told me that there were two people sitting at the picnic table, which is part of the swing set. He proceeded on to tell me that he was the only one who could see them. I asked him if they talked to him, and he said no. I tried to get more detail from him, but all he could tell me was that they were different colors. I don't know if by different colors he meant clothes, skin colors, or perhaps even like different colored auras. My third and final story for today involves my son again. He was about the same age. I was at work this particular day, and he was home with my husband. My husband was in the bathroom when my son came quickly to tell him that there was someone in our house. He'd seen a man in the laundry room, which is the room next to the bathroom where my husband was. When my husband came to check things out, they couldn't find anyone. My son was very adamant that he had in fact seen someone. So much so that my husband continued to search the house to make certain there wasn't anyone here. He reports that the man looked like his uncle, my brother. My brother at the time had long, medium to dark brown hair that he always pulled back into a low ponytail. I hope you like our experiences. I'm now an EPP and have already been binge listening through all those episodes. I love the show. Thanks, Christine. Thanks, Christine, for being an EPP. And yeah, there's a lot to binge with there. Some good episodes.
Do you think the swing set has something attached to it?
It's odd because there's a lot of things going on there. I don't know if it's necessarily that the swing set has something attached to it. I'm going to go more so with the kid's sensitive and can see dead people.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially. And I don't know if, for whatever reason, the swing set, maybe it's, is it used? Is it, where is it, what's its origins? I don't know. I'm thinking he probably sees a lot of dead people and, or did at that point in time in his life. And was probably unaware of it until they were actually out of place, like in your house, where you go, yeah, that person shouldn't be here.
Or sitting there at the picnic table watching the kids play.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess by when he said the colors, too, you know, when kids talk about that stuff, they literally mean the rainbow. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is probably the aura mm-hmm. more than anything else, that there was these aura of people there that were, you know, emitting different colors. And that's something that we hear from a lot of folks who are very much in tune to that, who say they can see dead people now. They can tell essentially good, bad, or the other based on the aura and the color that's being emitted, mm-hmm. or their light, if you will. So, interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. If you like the show, press subscribe, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on. And there's lots of ways of listening. Pick the one that's easiest for you. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. There's a lot. I don't even remember all of them anymore.
Yeah.
There's a lot. So pick your poison there, press subscribe, and there you go. You get all the latest episodes sent directly to you. You don't have to search for them and hope you're finding the latest one or getting confused. Just do that. Easier. They come to you. And it helps us, too. It helps us grow up in the rankings as well, which is always a good thing because that means more people find our show. Our next story, the story falls more into the demonic spirit category. It was a few days before my birthday when I was in my early 20s. I'm a 6'2 male who is a magnet for all things horrible to happen to me in my life. I lived a hard and miserable life with little to live for, and my life was already bad without anything paranormal, supernatural, unexplained, and completely unknown happening to me. This happened to me in an apartment complex in Bexar County in San Antonio, Texas. I don't really have the luxury of anything that includes sleep. I sleep on a bed that's smaller than my height, and my feet stick out in either side. Two or three nights before my birthday, I was sleeping in my bed with my feet towards my closet. One night while I was sleeping, my psychic abilities went off, and I could see my whole room, which only consisted of my desktop computer with my computer table, my bed, and my clothes, and the rest of my belongings. The light was shining through the blinds over the closet that had the sliding door open, and all my clothes were hanging inside, or visible by whatever light would shine on them. My attention kept focusing on the closet when I started to notice the closet was getting darker, and all the clothes and rest of my belongings were gone. All that remained was pitch black darkness. Even the light coming through the blinds was not shining on my clothes. I felt I was in the presence of evil and was stuck in a state of sleep paralysis, which made it even worse. I saw two skinless, bloody arms with sharp fingernails put its hand around my ankles and tried to pull me in the closet by my feet. My feet automatically started shaking free, and I woke up. I rolled off the bed and crawled onto the floor, stunned and shaken with fear. I slept in the bathtub instead. That didn't help either. The demon followed me into the bathroom and tried to show itself to me in the mirror. My psychic abilities went off again, and I was sleeping, and the remote view went off, which would allow you to view short and long distances without leaving the view, or without leaving to view them in person. It turns out I was haunted, and to make things worse, the apartment I was in was haunted, and since I lived with my mom, I was the only one experiencing these horrible things. I started sleeping outside on a lawn chair as often as I could to avoid my own room. But then that explains when you see sleeping on the lawn chair at night, why they're on the lawn chair at night.
Yeah. They either passed out from drinking too much, or they're avoiding the demon in the closet that's got bloodied arms pulling them in.
There you go. There's probably someone who goes, oh, I lived in that area. I saw that guy. Oh, well, he's not so strange after all.
No.
Now I know what was going on. Well, I'm sorry that you had to experience that. That does not sound like a pleasant time in that apartment.
No.
But it looks like you found somewhat of a solution. My question is, so you go, if it's something that's trying to make itself known to you, why is it not able to just go out to the lawn chair too? And continue to follow you there?
It somehow seems to be bound to that room or that closet.
Hmm.
Because it's not affecting the mom either.
Sure. Interesting story. 855-853-4802. Our phone number. Kathy says, my childhood home in Southwest Missouri is not a very scary account, but this is the beginning of my seeing shadows and feeling spirits and being watched. My younger sister and I always shared a bedroom. For as long as I can remember, I was haunted by shadows. I could feel we're in the closet. Terror would strike most nights. I'd crawl into bed with my sister, but I insisted to be next to the wall. My parents had to leave the bedroom door ajar and the hall light on to keep me from crying. Nothing ever happened, but I nevertheless was terrified to sleep in my own bed. When I was about 14, I started feeling even more uncomfortable in my home. My parents had built an addition to their ranch-style house. It included the basement and two master suites. My sister and I shared one of the suites. Whenever I was alone in the house, I could not stay in my bedroom alone. I'd always go to the den or living room. One summer weekend when I was 16, my family went camping, and I convinced them to let me come the next day so I could go out with friends that evening. I had invited a girlfriend to stay over, but at the last minute, she couldn't stay. So after a night out, I caught the ride home. The house was completely quiet except for the drone of the window air conditioner in the living room. I went to my bedroom and got ready for bed, but just could not stay in that room. Took my pillow to the living room and tried to sleep on the sofa, leaving all the lights on. I felt like I was being watched the whole time. I was so uncomfortable and had a hard time going to sleep. Finally, I fell asleep from sheer exhaustion, and suddenly I started to be awakened by what I thought was someone calling my name. I bolted straight off the sofa and listened intently. It was then that I noticed the air conditioner was not on, but all the lights were still on. The air conditioner switch was still in the on position. Being a hot summer night, I thought perhaps the breaker had tripped, but that was not the case. The living room and air conditioner were on the same breaker, and all the lights were still on. I switched the air conditioner off, but the silence was too deafening, so I thought I would give the air conditioner a try. It came back on without hesitation. I didn't sleep the rest of the night and was so glad for the morning when my grandmother picked me up to join the rest of the family. I never asked to stay alone in the house again. Love the podcast. We'll send in more stories. Thanks, Kathy.
I think entities take the opportunity of knowing that you're staying alone, and that if they do something to you and you tell somebody, that they're not probably going to believe you, because they're going to be like, oh, it was just your imagination because you were home alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do that. I think they pick that prime time to screw with you.
To make themselves known?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it takes more energy to make yourself known if you're an entity when there's more people in the room? Does that affect the way that it can come out?
Well, I think maybe it doesn't take more energy. I think it's one of those things where you just assume it's the other person or somebody got up to use the bathroom. You know, you can rationalize all those noises away.
Sure.
Except when you're alone. So they might be doing the same amount of work when somebody is there with you, but it's going to get more payoff if you're alone.
I see. I was kind of thinking, you know, it's an odd way of thinking of it, but it's something that I don't think we've talked about. It's kind of like if the ghost is the battery, would the ghost be the battery in this situation? The ghost is the battery. And to run, there's the people out there.
I see where you're going. You
see what I'm saying?
It needs the people to charge.
It needs the people to charge.
And so maybe it takes more effort
so,
on the ghost part.
So if there's like 10 people in the room, it's much more difficult for it to show up as opposed to just one. I don't know. It's just an odd concept.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks for kind of helping me through that idea that I couldn't get out of my head.
I followed you.
Okay. Blair writes in, I just want to say, first off, I'm extremely glad I found your podcast. I listen to you guys in between classes and while doing homework. I really enjoy it. I was born and raised in Virginia and have lived in the same house my whole life. I'm in college, but still live with my parents in the same house. Before anything ever happened to make me believe that there was a spirit in my house, I had friends over who told me that they thought my house had an eerie feeling. I guess I was just used to it. But I soon discovered the feeling for myself. A while back, I was working on a project for school on the computer. My mom was asleep in the other room, and my dad was at the store. There's nothing on, no TV, no radio, and no noise. It was silent. I paused from typing to proofread, and out of nowhere, there was a whisper right next to me. It happened so fast, I could not tell you what it said, but it was terrifying. I turned around immediately, thinking one of my nieces or nephews was trying to sneak up on me, but there was no one there. At that moment, when I found no explanation for it, I got chills, started shaking, and screamed for my mom. It was the freakiest thing. Of course, my mom and dad tried to convince me it was this and that, but I knew 110% it was a child's whisper. It was a ghost. Ever since that first experience, I seemed to be the number one target in my house. Over the past couple of years, unexplainable things that have happened in my home include hearing unexplained sounds of dishes dropping in the kitchen. When I was getting ready for a shower, there's a loud pop on the back of my leg, and upon looking in the mirror, a red line appeared within seconds. Feeling a short tapping on my back in the upstairs bathroom, hearing what I thought was my mom crying in her room, only to find out she had left for work about 30 minutes beforehand. Finding a picture lying face down on the ground twice, and so much more. I have no doubt in my mind that there's at least one spirit in my house. But what solidified my experience of the child whispering in my ear was my nephew. He came to my house, and this was years after that experience, and went to take a nap in my parents' room. He came downstairs, freaked out, and told us that he woke up and saw a little girl near the closet. I was freaked out completely. Till this day, he's terrified of going upstairs, even in broad daylight. He despises. I know children, I have very creative imaginations, but you cannot make up the fear this kid had when he comes over to my house. Also, to add to that, my niece, 4 at the time, would come over and I'd often catch her looking up in the corner of the ceiling, laughing, whispering things. She'd look back down, then glance back up to that same spot and giggle. I don't know what she's seeing, but I would rather not see it myself. Lately, my mom and dad have been experiencing things as well. My mom swore she saw me in the rocking chair in the other room when I was actually still asleep upstairs. She also believed to see me in other instances, but it was neither me nor my dad. Ever so often, we'll hear what sounds like a huge crash coming from upstairs, but there's no explanation. I can go on and on about things that happen in the house, but I'll save that for another time. All these experiences are very true. I just learned to accept that my house has a spirit or two, as long as I do their thing and don't harm my parents, guests, and me. I guess I'll be okay. Besides, they were here first. Thank you for reading. Until next time.
I think it's interesting. I mean, she said that since that first experience, that she's been target number one, and it makes me think that when the spirits realized they could affect her, then yeah, they were going to try and get her attention.
Sure.
So it makes you wonder, how long can you put off a haunting or an intensified haunting if you pretend you didn't see it, didn't hear it, don't react?
I think that's the philosophy a lot of people have.
Well, it makes me wonder, do they really know that they got to you, or is it just based on your reaction?
Like the ghost seeing, I don't know. I mean, I think it probably really depends on the entity and their skill set. I think some have the ability where they can do everything as far as into the point of reading your mind, all the way down to they have to pick up on social cues just like a human being would. And I think when you're having that sort of an experience, you're hoping that you're just dealing with a spirit that has to pick up on social cues and go with the, I'm going to be calm and act like nothing's going on. I mean, it's like being in a very, high, scary situation and having little kids around you. Mm-hmm. You have to try and be as calm as you can so they don't pick up that, oh shit, there's a train heading right at us and we're duct taped to the railroad track, you know?
Yeah.
Because we've all been in that situation. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's just Thomas. He's coming to say hi. You know, it's things like that where you just have to be, you know, in a calm, you know, demeanor. So nobody else is going to be like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the ghosts, you know, pick up on or don't pick up on the fear. But again, I think it really depends on what
the ghost can do.
What the ghost can do. Exactly. So interesting stories today. Thank you guys for writing in and sharing your stories with us. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. Of course, we'd also like you to become an EPP. Help keep our show on the air. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And hopefully you can help keep our show on the air. Get to all the bonus episodes, more than 50 of them for you to download. And, of course, exclusive video content as well. So check that out on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. All right. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories.